Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, friends. I'm Rosie Acosta, author, mindfulness teacher, and wellness coach.
And I'm Tessa Tovar, producer, co-host, and your partner in Real Talk for all things wellness and beyond.
Welcome to the Radically Well podcast. This is a space where we break down the messy, transformative moments that make us who we are, because wellness isn't about perfection. It's about embracing the journey.
Every week, we'll tackle the topics no one talks about, but everyone needs to hear, like navigating hormones, aging, relationships, sex, and self-care.
You'll hear unfiltered stories, expert advice, and real, relatable conversations that empower you to reset your mindset, reimagine your health, and show up as your most authentic self. Whether you're here to learn, laugh, or maybe cry a little, this is your space to feel seen, supported, and inspired to live radically well.
So grab your favorite tea or, hey, maybe a glass of wine, and let's dive in.
Let's get radically well. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Radically Well podcast. I'm Rosie Acosta, and this is...
Tessa Tovar.
Ah!
Hello.
And we're here today because we can be here. No.
We want to be here.
We want to be here. And we're, again, just so excited about this new venture. We're really excited about the content that we're presenting here and the topics that we're covering. I feel like we're really leaning into the hormones.
We're your hormone besties.
I love this.
Yeah. I mean, we have to, right? Like, yeah, we're going through
true.
It.
It's true. For those of you that are just catching this and this is your first time here, I am 41, postmenopause, young menopause, and Tessa.
Ooh, how old am I now? I always forget.
41. We're the same age. You're only three months.
I'm a little bit older.
3 months.
3 months older. Okay, so right? I'm 41 too. Also,
I love that you're always like, wait, I feel like I always feel like I'm older.
I do too. But, but like in the sage kind of way, in terms of being a mentor, do you know what I mean? It's like you have more life experience.
I don't know. I wouldn't say that.
A different life experience.
It's just different.
Yeah.
But I feel like we really complement each other well.
Yes.
All right. So
we're in love.
We are. Did we catch? I hope we leave that in this episode. Let's leave the whole beginning portion. So today, you know, we've been really doing a deep dive and talking to a lot of incredible experts. And being as this is still the beginning of this season, and we have a long season ahead. But one of the things that I was really excited to lean into more is like the changes that we go through in perimenopause and in menopause and relationships, how hormones affect our health, our well-being, our mental health, our stress, so on and so forth. So one of the things that I found when I was going through this process was when I started, you know, when I was in perimenopause, this was 2019, 2020, obviously, we're in the middle of a pandemic, but also it was, you couldn't really find a lot of information, digestible information, that you could really dive into and understand. And I feel like in the last couple of years, like that's really changed and more people are talking about it. You see a lot more, a lot of celebrities writing books. Naomi Watts is really saying a book about menopause and her journey. And I know that Halle Berry is also really into talking about menopause and ways to help support this journey for women. So I'm here for it, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like the more we talk about it, the less shame there is around it. There's a lot of shame. There's a lot of, you know, still a lot of this feeling of not really knowing where to go, where to look, who to believe. This doctor says this, this other doctor says that. Your general doctor is going to put you on birth control and give you antidepressants instead of putting you on hormone replacement therapy. And again, there's so many discussions within the realm of hormone replacement therapy, you know, whether it's like a synthetic or something that's more bioavailable, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So obviously, I've done a lot of research and I've had a lot of experimentation in the last 4 years where I'm finally at a place now where I feel good, you know, and I'm post, right? So I'm like post-menopause. Once you're in this phase, I'll call it this cycle, everything it feels pretty leveled out. But one of the things that I feel like people didn't talk about, and it was probably the most embarrassing thing and sort of, you know, like, I don't want to say shameful because I didn't feel shame, but I would say probably the most, in a way, like, yeah, really vulnerable and inadequate feeling is what happens when you're in a relationship and your libido disappears.
Yeah.
Right? Like nobody talks about the sexual component of menopause, perimenopause, and I want us to talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
I mean, I'm here for it, you know?
Yeah.
Here's some information, and I want to just kind of say this to you. I don't know if you know this or not, but did you know that nearly 50% of women over 40 report a decrease in libido, but only 14% seek medical advice?
That last half is what's surprising to me. That I mean, I do feel like, and I'm not sure if it's just in my realm, my circle, I do feel like it's common knowledge that libido decreases at this stage. And also, I wonder how much of that plays into like me being in a long-term relationship. I've had that felt experience.
Same, same.
A different conversation for a different day. But I do think there's a cultural stigma around women as they age, you know, like the dirty 30s. And then in your 40s, when you start going through perimenopause, like vaginal dryness is a big issue. I don't know if you've had any experience with that.
Oh, let's talk about it. We'll talk about all of it.
Okay. Where should we? Well, okay. Let me tell you, since we're on the topic of vaginal dryness, I've been going through perimenopause myself and having all kinds of fun conversations with my doctors. And the most recent thing I've tried is something called, it's a topical cream, and it's called Scream Cream.
I already love it.
I mean, this is like the name, the pharmaceutical name on the label. It's called Scream Cream.
By the way, this is not an ad, so.
It is not an ad. It's, so compound pharmacies are now this place where I'm becoming very familiar, and this is where I get my testosterone because it has to be a specific formulation for me. I think that's my understanding of a compound pharmacy.
So yeah, and a compounding pharmacy is, this is where it gets a little bit, just a little bit of a disclaimer. A sort of traditional doctor will say, have to tell you that there are risks with getting especially testosterone from a compounding pharmacy because it is, like, it's human. I mean, this person who's making this has to make it. There is a there's a element of human error that is possible. And so there's no real way to measure something that's like in a pill form that's FDA approved. It is consistent. It's always going to be within like approximation to a regulated substance or medication. So there's less I'm going to say air quotes because fuck, I don't know. You know, it's like, is there? I don't know. But there's less of a risk when you take something that's FDA approved, that's been sort of tried and tested by, you know, a lab. When you're dealing with a compounding pharmacy, there is a professional, a person that this is their job. So we pray and hope that they're doing a really good job at compounding these treatments. So I want to say that just for people, and please do your own research and ask the right questions. And both Tessa and I are on the tea. I call it the tea.
Yeah, we're on the tea.
We're on the tea. Yeah. And I also get it from a compounding pharmacy. Mm-hmm. But what I like to do is I get tested very often.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. You know, because here's the thing about compounding. I don't want to say like, not supplements. What is it? A compounded
chemical? I mean, not chemical.
A compounded medicine. Yeah. We'll just call it compound. So the compounded medicine or treatment or what have you is, there's no way that they can measure. It's always going to be exactly the same. So your dose might be the same every time, but the way that it's compounded might be a little bit different. So that's why it's really good to be able to test, mm-hmm. you know, because my dose is, let's say it's 0.05 milliliters or like milligrams or just like the smallest amount. Mm-hmm. And if I'm doing it the same, but every time I'm getting it, like maybe I'm getting it from this compounding pharmacy and maybe I'm going to a different one, there may be just a little bit of a difference, sure. you know? So you always have to be aware, you know? And so I think the best bet is to just regularly get tested and make sure that, you know, your levels are okay. I say that because there was a point this year when I tested really high. Mm-hmm. My testosterone was really high and I had been taken. Well, let's be honest. We'll talk about
because you would have some symptoms from a high testosterone.
Yeah, right? You do. And mine were not bad. You know, I'm not going to say they were fine. And because I was having such a positive reaction to the testosterone, I was like, maybe I go a little bit extra. What happens? You know? So look, I'm back. I had to go back down. In fact, I had to go lower than my original dose. And now I'm at the dose that I'm supposed to be on. But again, just check. Carry on.
Yeah.
Well, disclaimer.
Last little disclaimer on that is what I've been doing is always going low and slow with compounding pharmacy. I start on a low dose. I see how it is for a couple of weeks. And then yes, I go back and get rechecked and see what's happening, you know, from a data point. Okay. So the screen cream, this is, and I don't know exactly what's in it. I'll have to put this in the show notes when I go back and look at the ingredient list, but I do know there's a combination of testosterone in there as well as other things that help you get lubricated if you do suffer from vaginal dryness, because it's a real thing. And you just apply it to the area, maybe 30 minutes before. So
is it testosterone?
There is some testosterone.
Okay,
it's a blend of, I think there's like 5 different ingredients in there.
Okay.
Testosterone is one of them. Mm-hmm. There is something that helps with lubrication. Mm-hmm. And so there has to be a little bit of forethought in there. But I mean, at this stage in my relationship, and I'm not sure how you feel, Rosie, it kind of has to be some forethought anyways. So yeah, I just make sure I'm thinking about things ahead of time. And
so wait, do you have to do it before you're like wanting to get some action?
Well, 30 minutes or so.
Oh, 30 minutes. Okay, yeah. So it's like, but that still requires.
It's a little forethought.
Yeah, it takes you out of the spontaneity, but you've been in a relationship for almost 2 decades. Same-samesies. Interesting. Okay, and you like it.
I have had some good experiences with it so far. Yeah. I'd say like the intensity of orgasm, very different.
Okay.
Like it goes up.
Ooh.
That's nice, right? And just, you know, like I want my partner, you know, speaking of like feeling sexy at any age, especially at this age, for me, it's kind of like this dance between my partner and me. But really, what I've found over the years is that it starts with me feeling good in my body, comfortable in my skin.
Yes.
And I have to feel sexy first. Like, even if Jorge were to come to me and say, oh, your ass looks really good in those jeans, which she does.
I'm like, uh-huh.
If I'm not feeling it, you know, like if I have cramps or something, or if I have a headache,
yeah,
the classic, you know, not right now, honey, I have a headache. I have to feel good myself. Yeah. So it really is, it starts with me, I think. What is your experience with that?
Yeah. So I want to talk about this because first of all, just to give those of you who are new here and maybe it's the first time you're hearing about testosterone, here are a couple of the benefits of taking testosterone when you are on hormone replacement therapy. And this is something that's prescribed to you by a doctor. And I'm in California, you're in Washington. Mm-hmm. So, you know, depending on your state, I know there's some regulations around it. So I know a lot of companies, you can get it online. There's telehealth companies that you can get these supplements from, and we'll add some of our favorites in the show notes. But testosterone is a hormone that can be used as part of hormone replacement therapy and help with a range of symptoms, including sexual health. So the T, I call it the T. The T can improve sexual desire, arousal, orgasm, and pleasure. It can also help with vaginal dryness, which is a common symptom of perimenopause and menopause. The second thing it does, mood and energy. Who doesn't want a boost there? The T can also improve mood, concentration, motivation, energy levels. Many women with low testosterone experience fatigue, mood swings, depression, and anxiety. We'll talk about depression and anxiety later on in the season, I believe. And bone health. So testosterone can help increase bone density and also like muscle health. It increases your muscle mass, your cognitive performance. I mean, there's a lot of benefits to it. You can also, as you said, use it as a cream that you can rub on. I take it as a shot. I inject it, which has been a really interesting experience within itself.
Can you tell me about I take it as a troche. So a troche is this little piece of it's almost like a wax, and it just dissolves under my tongue.
Oh, nice.
That's how I take testosterone, okay, as a HRT.
Yeah.
What's the injection?
Oh, like? Yeah. So it's you just inject it. Uh-huh. It comes in a little vial and you get these little like insulin needles and you just measure it out and you just.
And does that feel like an intense right away effect?
I honestly, to me, I think it took a little while for me to start to feel it. But I mean, I notice it, especially scaling back when my doctor's like, let's scale you back and see if you notice Dr. Shepherd, shout out. I told her, you know, cause I tested a little high and she wasn't too concerned, but she's like, why don't we just take you back to a lower dose than the original dose and kind of see what happens. And she goes, but if you feel not great, then go back to your normal dose. And part of me is like, well, I don't even want to not feel great. I don't even want to go down to the lower dose, but I did it for like 2 weeks and I absolutely did feel a difference. My mood was shit. I was definitely not wanting to be touched or looked at in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. So I just went back to my normal. I've been on the same dose for almost a year at this point.
Yeah. So that's long enough to have a good sample.
Oh, yeah. Set. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, and I feel like I'm at a good level right now with what I'm, my dosing, you know, and it does take some time. And you and I have talked about this and there is some playing around, especially in perimenopause. Like you can't get on a regimen because something that's working for you now, 3 months from now, like you might have to change it up. That's why it's so important to be paying attention, to monitor, to write things down, write down your sleep, write down your mood. If you have brain fog, fatigue, all of those symptoms, if you're monitoring and you're writing things down, then it's a lot easier to gauge, oh, okay, things are shifting. I might need to get my hormones checked and just kind of see where I'm at with my sex hormones, right? So going back to the sex, because that's what this is about, the most important conversation. Mm-hmm. You said something about, you know, feeling good And I think that, first of all, that is the key, right? Feeling good in your body. And I just remember when I was going through perimenopause and, you know, I gained all this weight and I just felt like, I mean, there was, I don't know if I've even told you this story, but it was, my book came out in 2022, You Are Radically Loved, A Healing Journey to Self-Love. Buy it wherever you buy books. You can also listen to it on Audible. If you have a credit, download it now. Thanks.
And you read it yourself.
I do read it. Shameless plug, okay? Yeah. Support your local female author. So, but yeah, look, I was at an event that I spoke at and I saw a friend who you also know, and I'm not going to say who he is, but he came up to me and he was like so excited. I hadn't seen him. You know, it's like we weren't really doing in-person events. And he looks at me and he looks down and he's like, is it happening? Like, is it happening? And I was like, what? Right. Oh, fuck.
Oh, dude.
I know. And I was like, damn, words. I had just eaten a burrito too. So it was like, my stomach was really swollen, you know? And I remember that feeling. God, that feeling was just like, oh, fuck. Like, wow. And I was like, no. And he's like, oh, I'm really sorry. Like, mm-hmm. I just thought because you had talked about it so much and, you know, on social media, like, I just thought that maybe, you know, I hadn't seen you in so long, like that maybe you guys were pregnant, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, no, I'm just menopausal, you know, I'm just like in perimenopause. Mm-hmm. At that point, I didn't know exactly what was happening. But that being said, for me, it wasn't ever about the weight. And, you know, I've talked about this. I actually wrote about this in my book, having had an eating disorder and going into the world of wellness and teaching yoga and meditation and mindfulness and coming to a place of acceptance with my body and this journey of healing, of self-love. Like, I wrote an entire book about it. And then coming back to this full circle moment of where I was when I was 16, 17, 18, where I just felt so foreign in my body. Mm-hmm. Like, my body didn't feel like it was mine. Mm-hmm. And to wake up every morning and feel like, this is not normal for me. This doesn't feel right. I'm in pain. I have joint pain. Like, I can't work out like I used to. I'm going to keep pushing myself to do it and just really starting to get angry with my body. And then having like the sweetest partner in the world, you know, when it was, you know, we'd have like our intimate time, mm-hmm. just feel so unattractive, mm-hmm. and just be like, and it wasn't necessarily that I didn't want to have sex, but I would just sit there and think like, why would he want to have sex with me? No. You know?
That's heartbreaking.
I know. It's really sad. And just to be like, why would you want to have sex? Like, why? Like, what are you attracted to? Because I feel so unattractive, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's like one of the things that people don't, especially women, like, we don't talk about that, you know? And I feel so fortunate and so lucky that Tori is like such a gentleman and so loving. And he never made me feel anything other than beautiful, mm-hmm. like, and attractive, you know? And I mean, there was a point where I said to him, you know, I wish I could see myself the way that you see me, because I don't see myself that way. It wasn't necessarily something that we talked about because it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to tell the person that you've been with your entire adult life, really, that like, yeah, I have no sexual desire at all right now. Yeah. I don't feel sexy. I feel completely foreign in my body. And I just feel awful, mm-hmm. you know, because then this is where it starts to sort of change the dynamic of the relationship.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I also wonder if there's a, I've had that exact same conversation with Jorge, and I've always been very cognizant of the possibility that when I say that to him, he takes it personal.
Right.
Because he's like, well, why isn't she attracted to me enough to like overcome this low libido or something?
Right.
And it's just very different for men. I think it's just so different for men.
100%. Even for us, like we have a cycle. We go through.
Right.
We are ruled by the moon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Men don't have that. They are consistently like, I'm ready to fuck right now.
Yeah.
You know there's what I mean?
Jorge doesn't need foreplay.
Yeah. Same. Women.
Yeah.
Women, right? Here, our producer behind the scenes, she's nodding. Yes. Yes. We need, and here was the other thing, like in that process, there was, you know, and we would try and I would most of the time, I'm going to say it right here, like you do what you do to appease your partner, you know, because it's like there's moments where I just don't feel like doing it.
Oh my God.
100%. It's like you do the pity sex, you know?
Yeah. Which almost feels even, I think when that would happen with Jorge and I think he would feel really bad because he would know.
Yeah.
After he'd be like,
he knows, but here's the thing. They don't give a shit.
You think so? Okay.
Not at all. Tori does not give a shit.
I shouldn't worry about that.
Don't worry about it. I don't think, I mean, we'll take a poll. Here's the thing, guys. If you get pity sex, does it matter at the end of the day? Do you care? I'm curious. Let us know.
Yeah. I want to know the answer to that.
I want to know too, because I know that Tori doesn't, I mean, he might be like, well, I don't want pity sex, but it's like every time I've done it, he just goes right in and takes it. You know, it's like, I'm just like, I'm down, I guess, you know, and he's like, oh, we don't have to. And it's like, okay, we don't have to. But he's like, but if you want to, and it's like,
and then you turn around and he's like, ready.
He's ready. He's just like, okay, we're doing this, I guess. It's happening.
Yeah.
But look, this process, I mean, the conversation has come up because, you know, there are, I think it's really important to learn to navigate these conversations too without, it's like, I want to be able to dispel the shame around.
Yeah.
What happens to our bodies as women, you know, it's like all of a sudden this unspoken thing where you have to use lubrication or you have to, you know, like get things, you know, like bring some spice into your life, add a little bit more foreplay into your sexual experience. Because women, by the way, we're conditioned to not tell people what we want and how we want it.
But we want them to know what
we want.
We
want them to know what we want. Yeah. So how are they meant to? Yeah. How are they meant to know? It's like, here's the thing. And I'm curious for you, like how the communication is. By the way, I hope that they're not watching this.
Let's have this conversation though. I really want to talk about
but
this.
But it's like, we want our partner to know how to navigate this fortress, right?
Yeah.
We want them to be able to navigate in a way that's going to give us the most pleasure. And for the most part, from what I understand, it's like your partner wants to give you pleasure. Yeah. They want to make you happy. They want to help in the lubrication process.
I mean, that's been my experience.
I've always been very, and maybe it's because, you know, when Tori and I started dating, I was in, and you with Jorge as well, like I was very young, I was in my 20s. There was no inhibitions.
Yeah.
Like I was just like, let's do this. Let's do that. Let's try this. Yeah. Like, let's go here, put it over here. Let's put it over there. Yeah. You know, it was just, it was kind of, you know, like it was fun, you know, and we had a lot of fun. And that's the thing when you're young, and I feel like what happens as you get older, you know, things change. And, you know, I've even noticed in our relationship how we've gone through a lot of phases. We are not the same people we were 20 years ago. But I would argue that our sex is better now than it ever has been, ever. And I'm more attracted to him now than I ever have been. And I think a lot of that has to do with
our openness, our ability to have conversations, his ability to hold space for me and to not judge and to allow me to tell him what I like or show him what I like and have him be receptive without feeling like his ego is hurt.
Right.
And I think, and him and I, we've actually had this conversation before where it's like, I appreciate the fact that it doesn't hurt his feelings. And at the end of the day, it's like, is you telling me what's going to make you feel good going to hurt my feelings? Right. You know, because I also feel like there's this unspoken sort of like expectation for men to just automatically know what to do with a woman's body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is a lot of pressure on them too.
Yeah, it is. And I have a lot of compassion for that because I feel like guys are not, how are you supposed to know? You have to explore and figure it out. And there has to be communication. And most women won't. I have girlfriends that have been in long-term relationships that have never had an orgasm with their partner. Yes, never. Like they just have never had any kind of orgasm with their partner.
Wow.
So, but that is, I'm going to look up the statistic right now here.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Jorge and I have always been, while you're looking that up, I'm thinking about the idea of communicating something like that, whether it be, hey, I need to have a conversation with you about how we approach sex, like who initiates, what I like, what I don't like, how often we have it, which is another thing that I want to talk about.
Oh, let's do it.
Frequency of sex, because it seems like there's a lot of, at least in my relationship, it's always kind of felt like one of the things that we kind of butt heads about is, are we doing it enough for him and his libido? Are we, and you know, we flip-flopped in that. I've been in the place where I'm like, well, what's wrong with me? He's not attracted to me. He doesn't want sex as much as I do. Well, now the shoe's on the other foot and it's right. Like my libido's going through it and we're trying to figure this out. So,
but are you having a conversation about
it? Yeah, we are.
Yeah. And I think that that's part of, you know, it's like, what about women that don't have the great communicate? It's like you know, in the, I'm a big advocate for women, especially when you're dating, like women, gals in their, you know, any age, 30s, 40s, 50s even. You know, I have a lot of friends that are going through a divorce right now and they're having a different experience. And I'm like, you're having a different experience because you're actually you're saying what you want now.
Yeah.
And I think that that is such a key ingredient to be able to say, yeah, I'm not feeling sexy right now, or my libido is low, or I'm having some vaginal dryness. Because even saying that out loud, like that's embarrassing for a lot of people, for a lot of women, like to say that, it's just like, oh no, because we feel like somehow we're broken, like something's wrong with us, you know? And yeah, I think also having the conversation with your partner, because they might feel like, oh, maybe it's me. Maybe she's not into me.
Sure.
Maybe I'm doing something wrong, or I'm not doing something, or I'm not doing enough, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So I think having that communication, like doing the foreplay, exploring what your options are, like, you know, keeping it fun and spicy and being able to, you know, novelty is always the key, right? Mm-hmm. Like bringing it, you know, anytime we travel, there's always, you know, some fun because it's different, right? When you're in your regular space and your regular fucking sweats and you in your loungewear and it's like, all right, well, let's have sex because it's like, I'm not going to tell you exactly. I'm not going to air all of our things out because then he's really going to have a conversation with me. But, you know, it's like we have our like little routine, you know, we have our nap time and it's like, it's a very specific, routine. And it's in a way, some people might be like, oh, that's boring. You get bored after a while. And it's like, well, it's not necessarily boring if you make it work every single time, you know,
if
you enjoy it, like it is what it is, but it is sometimes nice to bring in that novelty, you know, like going on a trip or getting a hotel or doing those kinds of things I think are really, really good. Okay. So I want to just tell you some data from a survey. Dr. Google. According to the data from the National Survey of Sexual Health and Behavior, around 64% of women report having an orgasm during their most recent sexual encounter in a relationship, significantly lower than the reported rate for men, which is around 85%. So this data is showing that there is a significant orgasm gap where men are more likely to report experiencing orgasm compared to women. And I want to be like, duh, of course. It feels like every time a man has sex, like he's going to have an orgasm, right? Yeah. Because it's a lot easier, especially if you're having a sexual encounter with somebody. I mean, imagine you've just had a divorce. You're in your mid-40s. You're going through perimenopause and you're dating. It's like, how are you going to tell this person that you like, but it's like, okay, hold on. I'm having some vaginal dryness. I got to go put the cream on so I can, you know, get excited. And then you actually have to do the things that I like, but you don't know me yet. So how are you going to do the things that I like in order to get me excited?
Mm. Oh, that's a good question. Gosh.
Like, yeah. What the fuck? What do you do? What is that? What does that gal, that beautiful gal do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think you got to practice being vulnerable.
Oh, fuck.
I think, yeah, I agree with you. Yes, it's embarrassing and there's a lot of shame around it because we don't practice talking about it. But we're talking about it right now. And guess what happens when you say it out loud? You lighten the load a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
It takes the pressure off. And then you give your partner an opportunity to react. Maybe they're like, oh, thank God she said what she was thinking. Thank God she told me this thing. Now they know what to do. I mean, in my experience, my partners have always been fixers. Like they want to help me fix the thing that,
yeah,
that needs to be fixed.
I love a fixer.
Right? I mean, they want to help. So give them opportunity to help you out.
Yeah.
And if they respond to you in a way that makes you feel even worse about yourself, you just learned something really valuable
exactly.
about that person. You don't need to have that person in your life.
At like, all.
You don't. Just say goodbye.
Yeah.
If you're in an early stage relationship, you learned a really good lesson there.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time.
Yeah. It's like we're so conditioned to be people pleasing, especially women. It's like, yeah. Oh, please your partner. And we're speaking of this in a heterosexual relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're both in heterosexual relationships. But I imagine this happens with, you know, same sex couples. And it is a hard minefield to navigate. So okay. So here's where I'm feeling like we're coming to, right? The sort of culmination of this conversation that I feel like we kind of, you know, went all over the place. I feel like women need to know that there are medical and therapeutic options to improve your libido and your confidence. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to something you said that is really key. If I could give one key takeaway or piece of advice, I would say it's really important for you to first connect with your body and yourself and do your best to practice mindfulness and to be so in the practice of mindfulness, and it's been adapted in the West, you know, pretty prevalently. I mean, they even teach it in schools now. It's a practice that comes from the Zen Buddhist tradition. And what mindfulness is just your ability to be in the present moment without any judgment, to be just as present as you can without holding on to any one thing. And so when you think about now this component of mindfulness and bringing it into this experience, even us talking about sex or being vulnerable or what's the changes that are happening in our bodies, when we are in that experience of upheaval and everything is shifting around us, we tend to go into this dark place where I have shame, my body's doing all these weird things, I don't feel like my partner's attracted to me anymore. And here's the thing, like I had a partner that would continue to pursue me. Mm-hmm. But I know that there are couples out there where that doesn't even happen.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's really unfortunate. And so again, that comes back to you who are having this experience. allow yourself to be exactly where you are. This is a process. It's temporary. Mm-hmm. It doesn't last forever. And we're here to tell you that it doesn't last forever. But it is a true, straight up, difficult terrain, double diamond level going down the mountain. Like, it is fucking hard. Like, I'm not even gonna lie. It is hard. But the thing is, when you are going through this process and you're able to practice mindfulness and be present with what is and where you are without judgment and just observe your feelings, your thoughts, your emotions without holding on to any one thing, it could be holding on to, well, I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy, or I'm broken. If you're able to really look at the greater whole, the huge, amazing tapestry that is your life, and just know that it gets better and you will feel better than you ever have before if you really pay attention and you want to create a better life for yourself and a better experience, you can do it. You have to be able to be in that cave of discomfort for a little while. Mm-hmm. But it does get better. I promise you it gets better. It does. It does. It does. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a great place to end. I think the only other thing that I'd want to underscore as a takeaway is, as embarrassing as it may feel, the shame that surrounds it right now, do practice. I mean, you could even practice on yourself first, or write it down in a journal, practice with a friend, a girlfriend, but do practice having those hard conversations with your partner. Give them the opportunity to respond to you. I bet you most of the time, if you're in a loving, committed relationship and your partner wants the best for you, they're gonna take that to heart and try. And it's not gonna be like, I said it once and they got it. It's like an ongoing conversation. Yeah,
for sure.
That will need to continue. And you might need to say it a few different ways, a few different times to have it really land.
Yeah. I love that. You know, one thing that I want to, that as you're saying that, I'm like, God, that's so good to practice writing it down and really sort of have that experience. Yeah. Because it'll give you the confidence to have the conversation. Yeah. So good.
Anytime I have a hard conversation, this is across the board.
Oh, good.
I write it down first. And then if I feel like I need another step before I actually have the conversation, I'll practice on a friend and get some feedback, and I'll have them pretend this is the person you're going to have the conversation with. And then I'm like, okay, I took out all of that initial, not all of it, but some of the initial nerve and fear and intensity. And I know I can say it. And, you know, just like with teaching yoga, I would, mm-hmm. that's how we would practice, yeah, right? You write it down first.
Yeah.
You practice in a group of your peers and then you go and you do it.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, what gives you the best feedback is watching somebody listen to exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And then you realize, oh shit, maybe I should have said this a different way. Yeah. So it's a process of communication.
Yeah.
And I love that so much. And one thing that I will say, God, I feel like we have to do a PSA for the guys, you know, because I mean, I love men. Like, I love men so much. Like, I really do. I feel like when you're in a relationship and you're going through this, like, God bless you. Yeah. Like, it is tough. Like, I just want to tell the men out there who are supporting their partners that are going through perimenopause and menopause, good on you. Like, you are doing amazing. Well, you will be doing amazing. Keep watching this show. It'll help. This will help you and your relationship. The other thing that I will say is you're going to do everything wrong, and that's okay. And everything that you do will be wrong, and that's okay. But I want you to know that your efforts are not overlooked and your partner sees you, and there is a deep value for sticking by her through this process. And, you know, maybe get her on some tea and you guys will, you know, have a good time. No, look, no, but seriously, I think those of you out there who are navigating this with your mate, good on you, and stick with it. It doesn't last forever, and just be as supportive as you can, as loving as you can, and as accepting as you can. So that's it. That's all I have to say.
Mic drop. That's it.
Thank you all so much for joining us. This has been the Radically Well podcast. We are so grateful to have you here. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. If you're watching this on YouTube, we're trying to build our YouTube channel presence. I don't know, whatever you call it. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can get updates whenever we upload new videos, and leave us a review. If there's a topic that you want us to discuss, also you can drop that in the comments, or you can send us a DM. You can pretty much reach us wherever. We're everywhere. And yeah, onward. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to the Radically Well podcast. This podcast is produced by Rosie Acosta and Tessa Tovar. Production by Sapphiris Media. Music by Monogram Sound. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.